This episode of the Tech Central podcast is brought to you by Pinnacle, Africa's top ICT distribution business, delivering the exceptional every time. I'm Duncan McLeod and you're listening to the Tech Central podcast. I'm really looking forward to this next interview. I'm at the Department of Communications in Pretoria today to talk to Aldred Dreyer, who was recently appointed to head up the Project Management Office for Digital Terrestrial Television Migration in South Africa. Aldred, it's great to have to spend some time with you, and thanks for talking to Tech Central today.
Thanks, Duncan.
So, where do we start on this subject? The DTT project is, of course, years behind schedule. We were supposed to have completed this by mid-2015, according to the deadline we agreed to with the International Telecommunications Union. It's now mid-2018. When realistically is this project going to be done, do you think?
Yeah, I'm 13 days into the job, and yeah, it's been a roller coaster to date. But before we talk about deadlines, I think it's important to just explain what we are currently busy doing in order to unblock some of these issues that have been inhibiting the success of the project. So we are in the process of revising the delivery model. As you know, the current delivery model focuses a lot on government executing on the project, buying decoders, having 100% subsidy for decoders as well as for antennas. And what we found is it's a very cumbersome and complex process, and it takes long, and it's very, very expensive. So what we want to do is, as in any other rollout example that I can give you of other countries, they have included retail in the process, and retail actually plays a bigger part in the process of migrating viewers over to digital. So what we want to do is we want to incorporate retail into this delivery model. There will be some sort of form of subsidy. We are revising the subsidy model. We can't give details around that now. We still need to take it to cabinet for approval. Once it's approved, we'll share it with the public. We also need to revise the numbers. You know, in the policy of 2008, it stated that there are 5 million indigent households that need to be subsidized. If you go and look at those numbers now, we're sitting at approximately 14 million television households. I think about 8 of that is already converted, so a lot of them are on satellite. So, and then we've got, we already procured about 1.5, or committed to procure about 1.5 million decoders. Some of it is DTT and some of it is satellite. So the balance, you're looking at about, there's about 4 million households that are still on analog, indigent and non-indigent, those that can afford to buy and those that can't afford to buy a decoder.
So what's the indigent number now, according to your
research? Don't know.
Okay.
So what we at the present moment doing is working through those numbers to see what is that figure actually sitting at the moment. But it is significantly less than the numbers that we are currently talking about. Okay. So, and then obviously, I think something that has not been talked about a lot is switch off has actually happened in the country. So in the SKA, the Northern Cape, there are about 25,000 households that are on digital already. So and that is something that we need to celebrate and need to talk about. And what we're also doing now, we are looking at expanding or fast-tracking the switch-off process in the Free State. And we hope that by the end of December, we will be done with the Free State. And why we have selected the Free State is the Free State government is actually quite keen to cooperate with the PMO in this process. And if you go look at the number of indigenous households versus the Dakota stock we have, the numbers sort of line up. So we can do about Free State, and we can do parts of the Northern Cape and Northwest with this, with the amount of stock that we have. So once we know what that number is of households that we still need to convert, once we know what the commitment of retail is in terms of Dakota supply into the market, and once we have a commitment around funding in terms of just for consumer awareness and also consumer help. So who do I phone if I have a problem? At the moment, there is no call center that you can call. So we need to put that in place. Once all of those things are known, will we be able to give you a date? Actually, the date will go to the minister, and the minister will then consult with cabinet, and that date will then be announced to the public. So right now, we don't know.
So when is that presentation to cabinet happening?
It will be in August. There will be a few presentations. So the presentation to cabinet, submission to cabinet in August, is around the revised model. Okay, so we need to get over that hurdle first. Mm-hmm. The next set of presentations would be around the plan for the revised model and its costing. Okay, so that would, I would assume, would be at the next cabinet sitting then.
Am I right to assume that things are finally starting to move along at a pace in this project? I mean, it kind of feels like nothing's happened for a long time. And of course, there was the warring that we saw between broadcasters over encryption on these platforms. Are all those issues behind us now? Is this project actually getting legs? Is it starting to run properly?
Look, I wouldn't say that nothing's been happening.
Yeah.
Even in the absence of doing nothing, the world still moves on. Mm-hmm. And as I've just mentioned, we already have about 8 million households that are already converted in South Africa with minimal input from government. So things are moving. I think we're just not telling that story. We need to tell that story as well. Mm-hmm. And yes, the issues around lawsuits, there are some issues that we have to deal with, and we are currently engaging the stakeholders around that to unblock those blockages. But as it stands right now, those issues will not hinder us from, for example, rolling out in the Free State,
yeah,
in the Northwest and in the Northern Cape. There's enough stock that we have in order to do that, and we've worked out the plan. It will take us up to December to do that, and by December, all of these other issues should have been resolved by that time.
Those lawsuits you speak about, those are mainly related to set-top boxes in Usasa.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Some people have been arguing quite recently that we should scrap terrestrial television altogether, that it would make more sense to consider direct-to-home satellite instead of terrestrial services, and that all the spectrum below 900 megahertz be reallocated for future use for mobile broadband. Is that a feasible option at this point in time? Is it something that the country could or should be entertaining?
Look, obviously that's a policy-related issue. One of the things that we've as a PMO, have agreed is that we're not going to touch policy at all. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you'll never get digital migration done.
Yeah.
So our key focus now is just to get the analog transmitter switched off and convert viewers. And what we want to do is move the choice of deciding how to convert to leave that in the hands of the viewer to decide. If they want to go satellite, it's fine. Let them go and buy a satellite decoder. If they want DTT, it's fine. Let them get a DTT decoder. In terms of a decision, should we only do satellite? Again, it depends on the business cases of the broadcasters. It also depends on policy, as I've already alluded to. And if those things need changing, or if the if a debate needs to be opened up on that, I think it's outside of this process.
Sure.
I think it needs to be engaged at the ministry level, because now you're touching issues around policy, and those things, I think, is outside of the terms of reference of the PMO.
Fair enough. Are the broadcasters ready for digital migration? The SABC, are they? I mean, I know they've done work on digital, but are they ready to go?
The SABC is ready. I think, remember, digital migration is a process that has been long coming. The delays has actually impacted negatively on the SABC. For example, in a multi-channel environment, if you have special events like funerals or elections, you can just create a pop-up channel for that, and not disrupt your main schedule or move programs around where you've already committed advertisers to that airtime and those slots. At the moment, that is one of the biggest issues that the SABC has. They also have extra stock in terms of programming that they can't air anyway. There's only 24 hours in a day, and they only have three channels in which to. So the quicker we migrate, the better for the SABC. And then the SABC, it will also level the playing fields in terms of multi-channel broadcasting. I think right now, you only have the dominant player, which is MultiChoice, that's in a multi-channel environment, and they have that flexibility to play around with their schedules, to have stability on the main schedules where they've already got advertisers committed to that airtime, whereas the SABC is on the back foot. They don't have that luxury right now. So yes, the quicker the SABC can, the quicker digital migration can be concluded, the better for the SABC.
I alluded to the encryption battle that was going on for many years, primarily between MultiChoice and ETV. Is that matter settled now? Have we decided as a country, no encryption, let's move forward?
So look, the use of encryption, again, it's more around the business case of a broadcaster. And remember, broadcast digital migration is not just about DTT. It's about a multiple platform environment, digital environment. So you have satellite as well as DTT. On satellite, you would need encryption
to avoid pay TV services, yeah.
Yes, but primarily to avoid spillover into territories outside of South Africa. So what you want to do is you want to encrypt the signal so that viewers outside of South Africa don't receive that signal, because you don't have the rights. As a content owner, you buy rights for content, say for sports rights or any type of movie. And typically in those contracts, it states that you can only broadcast that content within the territory of South Africa. So on satellite, you would have encryption. On DTT, the main issue was around the government-subsidized decoders. And should there be encryption in the government-subsidized decoders? And I think the thought at that time was, there are going to be so many of these decoders that it would make sense to have, if government is funding it, it would make sense to have to future-proof the platform, so that if new broad players come into the market, they can then start run on the platform. It's similar to the MNOs. I can go buy a virtual network license now and operate and sign agreements with Vodacom and with Cell C and MTN and roaming agreements with them, and I can then operate as a mobile network operator, but it's not my network, it's their network. That was the idea initially for the use on DTT. So as it stands now for non-subsidized decoders, if encryption is in or if it's out, it's fine. It shouldn't matter. On the subsidized decoders, I'll have to get back to you on that one. As I said, I've been here for 13 days,
okay.
So I'm not sure yet. I need to just get back to you on
no problem.
On the subsidized encryption on the subsidized decoders.
Well, we're going to do a follow-up to this podcast,
sure.
Post the cabinet decision,
yeah.
So maybe we can have a more detailed discussion then about encryption and how
okay.
it might play a role in those subsidized boxes. But I wanted to ask you about the process going forward. It's not a simple case of getting everyone onto digital and then switching off the analog transmitters. There's a big project that has to happen after that happens, and that's something called digital restacking. What is that exactly, and what's involved, and what does it mean ultimately for both the industry and for consumers?
Let me start with consumers. I think that's the easy bit. Consumers won't be affected at all in terms of digital to digital migration. Their decoders, if a transmitter needs to be moved out of a band where the frequency needs to be freed up for the digital dividend, so there are two digital dividend one and dividend two. And it's spectrum that in the upper UHF band, in band 5, that will be cleared.
We're talking about 800 megahertz and then 700
yes,
megahertz.
Yes, that's mm-hmm. correct, yeah. So those bands will be cleared. What we have currently, there are transmissions or broadcasts on those frequencies happening right now.
TV.
On TV, on DTT.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to switch off analog first. And then what Centec would do is they would then move those frequencies that are in those bands down to below 700 so that that whole band can be cleared. And then that is called the digital dividend. And then that spectrum would then be released for other services.
All right. So what's actually involved from an industry perspective? Is this a really complicated thing to do? Is it going to take a long time?
From an industry perspective, it's not a complicated process,
okay.
Because nobody's really... where the complication comes in is when a viewer is affected. So if... when I was at the SABC a couple of years back, we did a few of these changes in frequencies where you need to have an awareness campaign around it. If it's one... let's take a site, say Port St. John's, for example, where you need to change the frequency of that transmitter. You would literally need to do like a two-month awareness campaign in the area, go down locally and speak to the consumers, run a little ticker tape on the transmitter itself to inform viewers to retune their TV sets on a specific day. So that's very complicated. In the digital environment, you won't need that. Your decoder will just automatically search for the signal. So there's no complications. I think the hard work is on Centec's part mm-hmm. to move transmitters and to retune combiners. In some cases, they would have to buy combiners to install in the area where they need to move a transmitter to. If that combiner cannot handle the addition of an additional transmitter, they would need to maybe do upgrades on combiners. So the complexity is really, and all the effort would be on Centec's side. I don't really think the industry as a whole is affected in any way, other than Centec informing SABC, look here, these services of yours or these frequencies of yours need to be moved.
Mm-hmm.
Are you okay with this? Here's the program or the plan that we are going to implement. Are you fine with this? SABC essentially just needs to say yes or no. That's essentially how simple it is.
So this digital restacking shouldn't take too long. It could be done in a matter of weeks.
I think it depends on budget
okay.
and manpower.
Uh-huh.
And I think the people with authority that can talk about that would be Centec.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I know you've got to rush off to another meeting, but let me fire away with a final question. I know that you and your team met with TV manufacturers last week to discuss integrating digital receivers into new TVs that are sold in South Africa. What was the outcome of that meeting, and how many TVs currently in the market have these receivers built into them already?
The purpose of the meeting was really to look at ideas on promoting the supply of integrated television sets in South Africa, and to see if you can't fast track that process. Mm-hmm. The meeting was actually between entities like the DTI and SARS and the Department of Environmental Affairs, to look at ways and incentives, how we could incentivize manufacturers to produce more television sets and put that out into the market. Obviously, you know that technology has moved on. In 2008, we only had a decoder. Now we have a decoder built into a TV, and we cannot ignore those technology developments. So we need to, and this is the problem with the previous model. The previous delivery model ignored all of those things. And as we've noticed, there's a plethora of these devices out there now. And we need to, it's important that we engage the industry and retail to firstly to inform them that whatever stock they buy, whatever products they buy, need to conform to specific standards, so that we don't sell products to consumers that don't work on a network. Okay, that's quite important. So we're trying to close that gap very quickly. We know that there's conformance testing currently, albeit informal, for decoders. So all the manufacturers are on board in getting their decoders tested. There are a few tests that have to be done, but one of the tests is a network test to ensure that the decoder works on the network, and Sentech typically performs that test. We want to ensure that TV manufacturers also go through that process, okay? And yes, it is a voluntary process. That's why we need to engage them on that. Then we the reason why we had the DTI there was to see if we can maybe look at waiving the ad valorem tax on IDTVs in order to bring the price down for the consumer. If we can get the price down for the... We need to look at all avenues of accelerating the adoption of these products, decoders as well as the television sets, so that we can... Because our job really is to fast-track the analog switch-off process, okay? And we can only do that if people are buying these devices. So that was the main purpose of the meeting, is to explore with the DTI ways in which we can look at reducing some of the taxes that are currently on manufacturers. And the good news is, yes, there are a couple of incentives. So if you're manufacturing locally, there are incentives that you can apply for with the Department of Trade and Industry. And we've now connected the manufacturers with the DTI so that they can look at applying for those incentives. And then the DOC will do a submission to the DTI to look at waiving that ad valorem duty, say for a period of 2 years, just during the period of analog switch-off.
It sounds like there's lots of practical things being implemented in the background in this project, which is probably welcome news. Aldred, we are unfortunately out of time. You have to run to your next meeting, but I look forward to having a more detailed discussion post the cabinet process a little bit later this year, when we can delve into some of these issues in much greater detail. Aldred Dreyer is head of the Project Management Office for Digital Terrestrial Television in South Africa. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you, Duncan.